Your heart beats faster and faster.
Gee, Sean, you're going to have to do that all over again. This is going to be live on the air. I'm getting no feed from you, man. Hold on one second. Try it now.
Bringing you the voodoo that we do so well live from the G&D Show Studios, this is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
That's right, paranormal broadcasting, where apparently three times is the charm, because that's how many times it took Sean to get on the radio tonight, and that's how many times it took me to find out that if I get engaged, I'll probably wind up breaking it off before the wedding.
Oh my god! Oh, hey gang, we're back live in studio, and we'll be in the G&D chat room all night long. That's right,
and you can log into that chat room by going into our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
I gotta take my shoes off here, Demon Hunter. Of course, this is the Ghostman, Sean B.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter, trying to breathe.
Yeah, trying to breathe a little bit. But you know what? This is the Sunday, April 20th broadcast of our little Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
That's right. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schooner and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for I Am Haunted and Para X Radio.
Oh, all right, guys, tonight's guest, we got another hot one for you. First up, the G&D Show Haunted Vacation Getaways heats up with Alan McGee, owner and founder from the Appalachian Ghost Walks out in Tennessee. Then a little bit later, we're going voodoo, vampire, ghost, oh my, live from the Big Easy. Kalila Smith from the Haunted History Tours of Nolens sits down with the G&D Show to talk about what goes bump in the night down on the bayou.
Ooh, the paranormal world will stand on its ear for this one, Sean.
They will. They do every Sunday.
But until then, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes.
What's going on, Demon Hunter? Listen, what's going on, listeners around the world? Thanks for joining us on another great episode. Sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, he has so much more faith than I do.
Now, what was that thing about you being engaged? I'm getting a little feedback, Demon Hunter. It's okay, though, because I'm used to listening to the voices in my head. So,
I'll do what I can there, my friend. We're having some paranormal difficulties with the system tonight, which I think will soon be explained, and therefore they will no longer be paranormal.
Well, as long as we're not talking like chipmunks again. You know, everybody writes in, and it's usually we're not on or we sound like chipmunks, but what are you going to do? It's a paranormal show, and paranormal stuff happens.
Well, I think it's more electronic than it is paranormal there, Sean.
How do you know, Demon Hunter? Do you want to delve into this? Do you want to dive into this, my friend? It could be paranormal, okay? Skeptic.
What are you calling
That's
me?
That's all I'm saying.
What did you say?
I said you are a skeptic, my friend. Skeptic.
Uh-huh. Better to be a skeptic than a lame-o.
That's true. I'm a lame-o. So anyway, I was curious about the getting engaged thing. Do you realize you're probably going to die tonight in your sleep? Chrissy P is probably standing by right now.
And, no. She knows all the stories of my past experiences with getting married and divorced and then engaged and dumped the day we mailed out the invitations and then getting engaged a third time, and just not... it would be four, but fortunately, one of the girls I was dating, I bought the ring for, and she broke up with me the day that I bought the ring without her, before she knew I'd gotten it. So,
right. And you know what, Demon Hunter? I think everybody has these stories to tell about relationships, because dating and relationships, I believe, my brother, are paranormal. Because you got these two cats, different people from different backgrounds, but the same in a similar sort of way, as we both breathe air and we need food to live. I mean, and we hook up, we go
That's
out with
That's about all
people.
The same between Sean and I.
But, right, right. But I think we should open up the phone lines right now, guys. Demon Hunter, give them the number. If you guys have a weird relationship story to tell about some cat that you went out with and something weird that happened, call in right now.
Sean, if we started taking weird relationship stories right now... we wouldn't get any paranormal news in this evening, because everybody's got a paranormal story about a relationship.
But I want to hear them. I think that relationships makes us who we are today. I've met a lot of interesting people, especially being a paranormal single guy out there like I am. And you hear a lot of different stories. And what do you think, Demon Hunter, about being a ghost hunter, a paranormal investigator out there in the dating world? I think it attracts people. What do you think? Do you think it attracts people or kind of excludes some, sends them running?
It depends on the person, Sean. It's it's the same thing as anything with similar interests. If they have the same interests as you do, then it's going to attract them.
Yeah.
If they don't, then like everything else in your life, it's going to repel them. But...
Thank you, dear Annie. Oh, my God.
I said your life, not everybody else's.
To give
people that number there that you were saying before, though, Sean, is 605-475-8590. If they want, they'll be asked for the conference number, which is 555-1081. And if they want to ask a question or get on the show, they'd press 1-1. That number is available on our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
That number. I should probably write that down some Sunday.
I should have it programmed in my phone. I really should. So
I think I should too, but I don't. I don't have it programmed, and we're not as big as some of these radio shows, so we don't. You know, we can't go away for a weekend and just leave recordings going. We've only done that like twice, haven't we?
Yes. And they were usually recordings of us while we were away.
Right. Right. I want to start recording stuff. That way we can play every Sunday when I'm running in the studios like I was today, 2 seconds till the show started.
Yeah, that's starting to get me a little nervous there, Sean.
Yeah. I'm trying to check your nervous system every Sunday. I try to make it later and later. But today, it was the funniest thing, Demon Hunter. This week has been going very strange for me. Okay, let's start out with Monday, shall we?
Sure, why not? Let's shall.
Yeah, we had a great show last Sunday. Everybody was enthused, especially Spanky McBooble. She loved the English guy we had on, Nick Redfern. He said dirty or naughty or whatever, and all the girls quivered. And yeah, so it was great. You know, we're here to please our listeners. That's what we do for you guys. But, you know, I had a crazy week. So Monday I wake up late. I'm supposed to go into work. It was I was supposed to be there early for some overtime. So I'm cruising down 65. I think I just talked to you. I think we got off the phone, and I'm cruising down 65 heading north towards the Naptown, the city, and I see this long line of people, and they're not moving. We're all going like 25 miles an hour, and so I'm sitting back there, and I'm starting to get heated up. I'm like, wow, I got 20 minutes to get to work, and traffic's just not going. You know, you get that road rage, right?
Oh, sure. I'm sure you've seen me full of rage before, Sean.
I have, usually while we do the broadcast. But, you know, I try to go to the right. There's a semi. I try to go to the left. There's another, like a dump truck or some stuff I can't get over. So I'm stuck in this lane. Everybody's going 25 miles an hour. So I'm thinking, boy, if there's not somebody dead up here, when I get up to the front, I am going to roll my windows down and just explode on these people. So after about 20 minutes or so, I get up to the front and I see this car. It's a little blue, like Toyota or something. It's like a Citation vehicle. And I get up there next to him, and I'm looking over, and I roll my windows down, and I get ready, and I see two little old nuns. I swear to God, the only thing they were missing was the guitar to sing Kumbaya, right?
Right.
You got these two nuns, and they were wearing blue nunnery, or whatever you – what do you call it? Do you call it nunnery?
They wear habits, Sean.
Habits. Well, I got some habits, but I don't wear them. They come out every once in a while. But anyway, I was walking up there. You know, I had my hand up. I was getting ready to flash the almighty finger. And this lady looks over with this beautiful look on her face, little old lady like my grandmother. Like, bless you, my son. And I felt terrible. That set the precedent for the entire week, man. It was just, I was going to flip them off, a couple nuns in the car. And that just goes to show you guys, be cool on the road because you never know when there's a car full of nuns that's going to be holding up traffic. And you don't want to flip them off because you know, you never know. Maybe if you want to go to heaven someday, it's probably not good on the resume getting in the gates. You know what I mean?
Probably not.
But then, Demon Hunter, check this out. You're not even going to believe this. You're not going to believe this at all. But, of course, I live in the Midwest. I live in the heart of America, if you will, the heartbeat, the pulse that keeps the nation going, the great state of Indiana, right? So Wednesday night.
See, that's the heart of America, but I think it's Byram, New Jersey, is actually the center of the universe.
Right. Right. Well, that's because so many dead bodies pop up there in the river. They figure everybody comes there and they – what a dirt box. Huh? New Jersey. I love New Jersey. It's the Garden State. It's beautiful. And anybody listening from New Jersey, I love you too. But anyway, I came home Wednesday night and I was talking to Doug, mutual friend of the show. And we're talking. It's probably 3 or 4 in the morning. And I come inside and I lay down on the bed. Right, I'm laying there, I'm talking to Doug, you know, and I'm getting ready to fall asleep when all of a sudden my bed starts to shake and the pictures of my kids fall off the wall. And I was like, wow, you know, what's going on? Because that earlier that night I was talking about Rachel, the ghost of Rachel from Whispers of State and everything. I thought, oh, my God, I'm having a demonic possession case. You know, the whole house was shaking. Well, come to find out, it's been 20 years since our last one. But we had an earthquake here in the heartland, a 4.5 on the Richter scale, that happened right here in Indiana. I couldn't believe it. It actually started in southern Illinois, Demon Hunter, and what we were filming were the aftershocks, which registered at 4.5. But it happened throughout the night at least 6 or 7 times. And in the morning when I woke up to the house shaking again. It was pretty amazing.
You know, Sean, I think it all is because you were about to flip off nuns. It was just the universe getting back at you.
That's what I thought. I thought God was coming for me a little bit too early, right? And he was here. He was going to say, Mr. Sean, I seen that you flipped off some nuns or had the intentions of flipping. I thought I was going to hell right away. But like I said, the next day I found out it was an earthquake at 4.5. And I got to say, the earth is changing, folks. I mean, look at that. We had an earthquake in Indiana. What do you think, Demon Hunter? Have you ever experienced an earthquake?
I actually was in an earthquake when I was younger. There was one on the East Coast that hit New Jersey and New York. I, however, slept through it.
Right.
I can sleep through just about anything, and I proved that when I slept through an earthquake.
Right.
But it was only about a 1.7, I think.
You know, it's pretty easy to sleep through some things, like sex and stuff like that. But when it comes to earthquakes... Usually you wake up for that, you know what I'm saying? I guess you're not going to laugh tonight, so I'll just play my bell. That's okay. I don't need laughter, everybody. But, yeah, the earthquake happened, and I started thinking about it the next day. I started thinking about the earth and how the entire earth quakes and how huge of an event that is. And I thought about, I wonder what ghosts that roam the planet think when that stuff happens. I mean, I wonder if they notice it. I wonder if, you know, if the fault lines and stuff like that have anything to do because, you know, of course, they produce EMF, electromagnetic frequency and stuff like that. And I wonder if it's tied
in. Well, why don't
you
start a study now, Sean, now that it's happened, and see if there's any increase in paranormal activity over the next month since there was an earthquake.
See, that's very good, guys. We could do that. You guys need to go to the forums right away, and you need to post your thoughts on if you think natural disasters like that, or not even disasters, but natural happenings like earthquakes, because it really didn't do much damage except knock the pictures off the wall. But I wonder what intelligent haunts think of stuff like that, if they experience it, if paranormal activity picks up, if EVP's stronger, stuff like that during these times, you know?
I don't know, Sean. I just don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. But it was a crazy happening, and like I said, it was the first time in like 20 years since it happened. And I slept fine, though, the rest of the night. I wasn't really scared. Because it's not like you're in L.A. when everything's falling apart, or San Francisco, you know. So
afraid a building's going to drop on you. And
yeah, you're afraid a building's going to fall down on you. But you know what, Demon Hunter? Fresh off the presses, we got our interns bringing this stuff into us right now. I got a news story that just hit. It's breaking news from Weekly World News. That's, of course, www.weeklyworldnews.com. And it says daycare puts kids in 8-hour coma. Okay. And, of course, anybody that has kids out there would like to know the secret to this. But I want to read this story for you. It says, it sounds like something out of a science fiction movie, but a new daycare center that uses drugs, music, and hypnotism to keep children in suspended animation for up to 8 hours at a stretch is not only real, your tax dollars are paying for it, guys. You get this? That's why gas prices are so high, apparently. This isn't just outrageous. It's monstrous. Straight out of the pages of 1984, says Rhonda Martinette of the Child Advocacy Center. Nobody wants to talk about it, but the program is big and getting bigger. Something's got to be done. Children of daycare age should be interacting with one another and their teachers.
Be put to sleep like that till they get home or if they're in a restaurant next to me.
Right, absolutely. It says they should be expressing themselves creatively and learning basic math and language skills, but this program dispenses with all that. This program drugs them into oblivion and then puts them in a trance on top of it. Parents on the far right, the fundamentalist, like it because it means they get to raise their kids without government interference, since the only time the kids are active and awake is when they're at home. What they fail to understand is that these children will be horribly stunted, and who knows what kind of side effects the drugs would have. I shudder to even think about it, says the Weekly World News press guy. The mince-twisting daycare experiment has been underway since December of 2002 when the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare quietly issued a $60 million grant to the ultra-conservative Freedom in Education Research Group, which looks for innovative ways to teach and socialize children under the age of 5. The group first came to to be known in the mid-1980s when members suggested that children with attention deficit disorder are better off in padded cells than running wild in classrooms, ruining the educational experience of normal children. Spokesman and the group's headquarters in Los Angeles declined repeated interview requests, but sources with close ties to the think tank say the suspended animation experiment is considered to be a resounding success. They believe they found a way to give working parents the chance to raise their own kids in the way they see fit, which is something amazing. And that's what I got, guys. That's the story this week. Apparently kids in daycare.
And next week, Sean's going to read the story before he reads it to all of you.
No, I actually read this story. I still can't, the words throw me off there a little bit, like the and cat and stuff like that. But I was reading this story, and they're putting these kids in this drug-induced state, right, which kind of makes them groggy and they sleep and stuff like that. And it's not far off. I mean, they've been putting kids on Ritalin and stuff like that for a long time. And I don't know, man. What do you think? You think that's a good idea or what?
Well, you know, what I personally find fascinating about it is they said that the parents on the far right seem to like it. I have a lot of friends who are on the far right who would not agree with that whatsoever. But you're not hearing stories about people on the far left wanting to homeschool their kids, which does the same thing, pulls them out of the social environment. I think going to have children in a social environment at that age is very important. My parents didn't put me in that situation, and look how antisocial I am now. So
right. If anybody knows Nathan, you know he's a bear to approach. No, I'm kidding. Nathan's a great guy. He's a little off sometimes, but he's a great guy. But, yeah, you know, I was thinking about it. You got that going on. That has to be illegal. I mean, you can't drug kids up. Actually, I'd like to find this drug because I work so many hours during the week. I would like to find this drug, pop one on Monday, and not come to until Friday at quitting time. That's what I want.
That's what you did anyway, Sean.
Well, I try, but you get drug tested every 3 months. So. Oh, man, but what a great show we got going on tonight, Demon Hunter. We actually me and you were talking about it. We started this, guys. It's the Haunted Vacation Getaways for the G&D show, and we want to start at least once a month because summer, the weather's getting nice. You want to go out. You want to see these ghostly places. You want to wear your shorts and, you know, go shirtless or whatever, especially for you women out there. You want to go shirtless. And
Hold on.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Although our guest tonight is from New Orleans, so the women might go shirtless down there. I've been to Mardi Gras. It could happen.
All I'm saying is the female body is a beautiful thing, and they shouldn't try to hide it. That's all I'm saying, Demon Hunter. Hold it against me if you will. Get it? Hold it against me.
Do I have to push the button again, Sean?
No. That was a good joke for everybody. But, you know, we started this out, and tonight we got two back-to-back, as it would be. I don't know how that happened, but, you know, we got Alan McGee coming on, and he's from the, do I say this correct, David Hunter, the Appalachian Ghost Walks?
You got it right, Sean.
Okay, because I said Appalachian or whatever, and that's the Hoosier way of doing it, you know, before, and Alan corrected me, and they're out there in Tennessee, and it's a religious ghost walk tour.
Okay.
These are, and I thought that was cool within itself because these people are religious, and a lot of times we get around churches and stuff like that, ghosts aren't a big topic for discussion, you know?
Yep. Well, so, why don't we, and the second one is from the Ghost and Vampire Tour of New Orleans, the French Quarter, and the Garden District.
Oh, this hot mama, she did it all. Kalila Smith, she's done it all. She's been in movies with Troy Taylor, Big T.T., and she's done it all, man. She knows the vampires. She's actually a voodoo practitioner, I believe. She'll correct me when she comes on the show and holler at me if I'm not right. But she studies voodoo, and she's going to be able to talk to us a little about that tonight. But, you know, doing this show, Demon Hunter, we get to talk to a lot of cool people, and we get to see a lot of things. And on this show, I thought when I first started ghost hunting, guys, I didn't know what a Wiccan was, okay? And I'm Irish, so the pagan religion was huge out there, but I didn't know what a Wiccan was. And I thought witchcraft was bad and everything because I was raised in a Baptist home and everything. But I'm finding out I've had the honor, if you will, of working with these people in the field, and it's just amazing. And I want our show to be able to bring this to all the ghost hunters to know that not all witches are bad, not all spells are bad. There's vampires out there. There's people who think they're werewolves. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, guys, and we're going to bring it to you live.
We're still trying to figure out what Sean is, but other than that. But right. Speaking of Sean and the weird, why don't I give them this week's weird location, Sean?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, the Lost Pyramids of Atlantis in Lake Mills, Wisconsin.
Wow.
On the southern rock lake near, and I'm hoping I say this right, at Azatlan State Park in Wisconsin is a site of unexplainable series of rock formations that have baffled everyone that have seen them for centuries. When Europeans first settled the area and took up residence, Native Indians told them of rock teepees located on the lake floor. In 1900, their stories were validated when a local duck hunter caught sight of the massive monuments from his boat. Entirely submerged, the structures are 30 feet high and 100 feet long.
But if they're submerged, how'd the cat see them from his boat?
Well, he must have had a nice sunny day in clear water. And they are pyramid in shape. Explanations for the underwater stone pyramids vary. Some say they are simply natural gatherings and formations of rocks, while others say they are monuments, man-made, and still others, I'm getting feedback from you, Sean, and still others say they are left over from an ancient civilization that once lived on the water floor before the lake was formed. Theories point to several different possibilities. But if you want to check out the Lost Pyramids of Atlantis in Lake Mills, you can head on over to Wisconsin, or you can head on over to our friends Mark and Mark at Weird U.S. in Weird New Jersey. Tell them how much you love Weird U.S. and how much you love the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, and I'm sure they'll get back to you with more weird information.
I doubt it. Not if they tell them they were listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, Mark and Mark love us, and we love them. You know it.
They do. They like to see me with my shirt off, actually. We went to Gettysburg. They like my I got a manly chest. I got manly shoulders and a chest. I've been told that I have a very firm chest.
You have, Sean, and I will admit you do. But, hey, why don't you give a shout-out to everybody in the chat room there tonight?
Oh, well, I guess if we got to, brother. We got Ghost Chaser in the house. We got Prism Lisa, very beautiful Prism Lisa. We got Spanky McBoobles, or McBubbles, whatever you want to do. I say McBoobles. But we got Becky Ray, the famous Becky Ray. We got Muldoon, your brother. We got Sean P. What's happening, brother? And Miranda, what's going on, chick? Thanks for joining us on another great episode of the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, little note for you guys out there who are talking to Muldoon in the chat room. Congratulate him. My godson, EJ, his son, looked at him on Friday, pointed his finger, and said, Dad. So he's all excited. So.
Did you have something to do with that? Or?
I sent the energy to him and said, you know, say Dad or something, please.
Right.
I don't know if that was his first word or not. I hope so. But that'd be cool.
My kid's first word was UPS man when they looked at me, so. Or FedEx man, you know. Or just the postman.
One each, you know, yeah. while you were thanking those folks in the chat room there, Sean, why don't I thank our international listeners this week?
We got them.
For those of you who listen to us on iTunes, you may have noticed our new show wasn't up on iTunes. We're trying to fix that. But even with our show not having gotten up on iTunes this week, we had listeners who we would like to thank in Mexico City, New Mexico. In Spruce Grove, Canada.
¿Qué pasa, amigo?
In San Jose, Costa Rica.
Yeah, Costa Rica.
And I would like to thank our listeners in Champsford, Oxford, and the Yorkshire Dale National Park in the UK. There's also a group I'd like to thank in Italy, but I just can't figure out how to say the name, and I don't want to insult our Italian listeners. So next week I'll thank them when I find out how to say the name of their town. But all you listening in Italy, thanks a lot.
We'd like to send out a thank you to the Soprano family for listening. It's,
well, we're big in New Jersey. Big in New Jersey.
What are you going to do, David Hunter? I don't know. Apparently, we got mob connections because of your Jersey connections. And I'm not sure about Muldoon. He might be mafioso. You know, I don't know.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
First of all, my brother is not mob-affiliated, and I have yet to meet a mob-affiliated person with the last name Muldoon. And for those of you who are in the mob doesn't exist, Sean. It doesn't exist. It's a total fabrication. They're not out there, and they're not going to come and shoot us in our sleep. So
the guys in the black suit in the backyard right now, they're it's okay to go out and talk to them, right?
That's the government hunting us down, not the mob.
Oh, okay. I think we're under the watchful eye, though. I think that George Bush, I think the presidential parties have we've got their interest, I think, all of them. You know, I think Obama and...
Is that our listener in Washington? It's W?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's George W. Bush. He's listened to our show. And we love you, Bush. We love you, baby. The Bush is the big thing.
I would think that the government would be more likely to listen to Ghostly Talk because they've got that whole remote viewing test going on now. They want the results. And
That's true. Actually, you know, I can remote view.
Oh, no.
Would you like to know how this show's going to go? I can remote view.
Do you have to go into a trance for about an hour and a half if you do it, Sean? Because that would be helpful.
How much longer do we have the show for?
About an hour and a half. So.
Okay. Well, I'm going into trance right now. The show's going to end poorly. Oh my God, I'm a psychic.
The show's going to end poorly, or you and I are going to end poorly, because I can see us both being buried in a pauper's grave there, Sean.
That's probably true, but I think McBobles and a couple other people in the chat room would leave a wooden stake, you know, it looks like a cross or something.
Through your chest, maybe, but...
Yeah. What are you going to do, Demon Hunter? This is our show. This is what we got. We're bringing these people gold, paranormal gold, every Sunday, you know?
They're 13 and like the paranormal, we're bringing them podcast gold, yes.
All right. Where else can you hear fart noises and have people that are on that have battled paranormal, you know, task in their life? So did I say that right? Battle paranormal task?
Sure, Sean. Why not? I'll give that one to you.
Well, that's why you hired me, wasn't it?
Yes, for your incredible speech
vocabulary.
Abilities. I wasn't going to say
lab.
Vocabulary, but now that I know you know how to use that word, I'll use it in the future.
It's a pretty big word, but I got a grasp on it now. I think I'm comfortable using that, and it's good. But it's good stuff. You know, how much time do we got, brother?
We have 1 minute.
1 minute. You know, well, it's the funniest thing because I was coming back from the pub. We call it the Barrel here in Indiana. I was coming back from that right before the show. It's a show tradition, guys. And if you ever want to come out here to Indiana, you can do the tradition with me. Then you can come do the show with me. We go. We have a couple pints of their finest, and then we come in here. But, you know, that place has got to be haunted. It's an old building. And while I was there the night, the lights were flickering when I first went in. I went into the bathroom, and the lights were flickering on and off like strobe lights. And it just happened while I was walking through the bathroom. And then when I went out to the bar, the light actually flickered a little bit. So I'm thinking, apparently I'm Iron Man or I got something, EMF Man or something. I think I'm a superhero.
Maybe they're just smell activated, John. But
it might be. I haven't showered today, but or yesterday. But I digress.
Before we go to break, I just wanted to say we have another review on iTunes. We don't give out the names of those who review us, but the title of this one was Rock On, and we received 5 stars.
How many can you get, 20?
5 is the max. And
This
was a review that stated, "This is the most entertaining paranormal show I've ever heard. I wish I could listen to you guys every day. What a fun way to explore the mysteries of the world." So... hey, we're not just for 13-year-olds. There are other people out there listening to us, unless that was written by a 13-year-old, in which case, hey, I'm all wrong. But why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, Sean, we'll have Inside the Horror with our very own Gore Girl.
Gore Girl herself. Stick around, guys. It's going to get scary up next.
Just when you thought you've seen it all, here comes Scarefest 2008, crawling with real ghost hunters, cryptozoologists, paranormal experts, even exorcists. We've also invited stars from the House of 1,000 Corpses, the Devil's Reject, and we're hosting our very own Friday the 13th reunion. Make plans now to meet your favorite stars at the Scarefest, the biggest horror and paranormal convention in the Southeast, September 12th to 14th at Lexington, Kentucky's Lexington Convention Center. We're waiting for you right now at thescarefest.com. Just don't come alone.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is Intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
This is Troy Taylor of the American Ghost Society, and I love listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Well, we're back, Sean, and you know, this is the part of the show I really enjoy because I can sit back, relax, and just write down all the things that I'm going to have to edit later on the show while you and Gigi talk.
So. Nathan, I got to tell you, I went out to the pub tonight, right, and I was on a date, actually. I was going to meet this beautiful chick, and I went to the bathroom to wash my hands. Some kid had, like, taken a bath in the sink, so I leaned up against it, and my leg was wet. So I had to meet this chick. I met this chick with water all over my pants. I'm still wet right now. I thought I'd share that with everybody. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny, Sean. Hysterical. But, you know, it's that time, Sean, to ask the most important question of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite scary movie?
Yeah.
Guys,
welcome back, GG.
How you been? I crack up every time I hear that song.
That was kind of like a mix tonight, Nathan. Like,
I was like, wow, we got mixed master Nathan.
That's
here.
Right. You know, well, everybody wants everything to be twisted up a little bit there or moved up, and I don't know how to get jiggy with it or anything like that, but I figured I'd give
Come
it a try.
Somebody play something. He said, get jiggy with it. Oh my god.
Sean's going to go back and cut that out of the show later on and just keep playing that, me saying that over and over again.
Is that like we should have like a whack white guy button or something. Like, the comments of whack white guys do not have anything to do with
it. Yo, I want to get jiggy with it.
I want to get jiggy.
Hey, I'm jiggy. I'm white guy. I know how to break it down, funky style, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, Sean, I'm sure you do.
There goes some more vomit in my mouth, guys. I'm sorry. No, do you guys remember that one song I had?
No.
Yeah, they're dead. Shoot them in the head.
You know, but the thing is, Gigi, I have actually heard other paranormal shows use that song since you did.
Oh my god, they stole my song.
They stole your song.
They gave me seizures.
They gave me seizures. I blacked out. Yeah. I couldn't remember.
I peed my pants and I forgot my name for a half hour.
Did they really use it after we did?
I'm not sure if it was before or after that they started using it, but I have heard it on other shows. In fact,
oh my god,
I have heard that song used on Darker Side of the Moon.
Okay, well, they're all right.
Yeah, they're alive.
I have to throw that in there before I get, like, assassinated or something.
I'm pretty sure that...
I wonder how dark is the Darker Side of the Moon. How dark is it?
Well, bend over, Sean. We'll find out.
I was going to say, I'd show my moon several times, and it's not that dark, folks. Let me
see,
tell
look at
you.
That. I'm reading your mind. I'm reading your mind. You see how that works?
It's remote viewing. That's what it is.
We've done too many shows. And next week, the show's in Smell-O-Vision.
Love of God. You are right. Smell-O-Vision.
Or like what they used to do with William Castle. He used to do the Tingler. Remember that? He used to have the different seats in the theater rigged. And when they'd watch the Tingler, the seats would activate and people would get shocked. It was total, like, Shockorama from, like, the 50s. It was awesome.
Which was the show, though, that you were allowed to get up and leave in the last 3 minutes of the show and get your money back that he did?
I don't remember that. There could be, like, a lot of independent films.
It was one of his as well, and you could get up and leave 3 minutes before the end if you thought that the ending was going to be too scary for you. And people kept getting up to leave. So many people got up to leave, in fact, that he added it that you had to sign a waiver that said, I am, you know, a scaredy cat and am too wimpy to handle this show and sign your name.
Yeah, that sounds like William Castle. Because, I mean, he was the total – he started the Shockorama, you know, cinema. He was the total king of – okay, I'm distracted. Somebody said something about a towel for Gigi in the chat room. We're still
didn't
on the towel.
Didn't you and that Castle guy date a couple times, go out and get freaky? I mean
– We did, yeah, because I was not born then, but that's okay.
Right. Well, you are the Gore Girl, so we assumed you dug him up and –
I did. I dug him up. You know, necrophilia. Gore Girl supports necrophilia.
Oh, necrophilia is hot. Yeah.
Every now and then, I have gone down to a theater in New York and gotten to see
that sounded so bad, Nathan. That sounded terrible. Necrophilia.
My mouth dropped open. I was like, what?
I'm still thinking really William Castle, so I don't know where your guys' minds are, but I get to go down to New York and watch some of the William Castle films. Where they actually throw in the original effects.
Do they really?
Yeah.
You know, see, I thought that would be a great idea if somebody actually took a theater and did that again. Brought back, you know, the old William Castle, like, you know, creep fest, like, and just totally did that. I thought that would be awesome.
When
or like House on Haunted Hill, when they would have the fake skeleton fly across the theater.
Well, they do that at the theater.
Ah!
And they have the glasses for when you go to see the 13 ghosts. And
oh, my God.
I don't think they can do the shocker. But
you know what?
The tingler.
You know, Gigi, every once in a while I go down myself to downtown Indianapolis.
Okay, yeah.
I go down.
Yeah, Sean, that ship sailed a while ago. Anyway,
the comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Bandit Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
You know, the fact that my mind wasn't dirty enough to catch that little mistake there, Sean.
You know, and it was funny because you were just going right for it, and I was like, What?
Dude,
I'm like, is he really going to say what I think he's going
to
say? And then you told me, at the end, just totally threw it. I was like, oh, okay.
We need to make the t-shirts. On the front says necrophilia, and on the back says, sometimes I go down.
I think the button will be broken by the end of tonight.
I'm picturing Ghostman and Demon Hunter on the t-shirt with their tongues hanging out, like, ah! Oh, God. And we just lost the family rating.
Yeah. Oh, the family rating's gone. Forget it.
Didn't the family rating get blown out of the water, like, the first show?
I don't even try for the family rating anymore. I just try to go for the not explicit rating at this point. So
okay.
I go down.
Okay.
Nathan, that's gold. That's gold. I can't even pay you enough. This kind of, you set it up, brother. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just saying.
Guys, oh, God. Oh,
and on that note, Gigi, do we have a movie this week?
Yes, we actually do have a movie. I'm like, what did I do on this show again? I couldn't remember for a moment. I was like, something about necrophilia, and I don't know. I'm your resident necrophiliac. No, Gore Girl's not necrophiliac, so don't get
yes,
any bright ideas out there.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show does not support necrophilia. We would like to state that now for all of our listeners.
I don't want any, like, fans to send me things in the mail, please. I'm okay. I'm not a
but you guys have heard that question, right? Guys always ask it all the time. If you're with a very beautiful girl and she unfortunately passed away.
Sean?
Who asks that question?
Let's
I've never heard
keep
that question.
The show non-explicit.
Okay, we can
moving on. Well, speaking of all this necrophiliaism and downright craziness, I went and saw Prom Night, and that movie was about as dead as you can get. But, yeah, I went and saw Prom Night. I mean, come on, I had to, you know, I just had to, okay? Remakes are a joke, but I said, you know what? I have to report to the fans. I have to let everybody know to not go see this and legitimately tell them to not go see it, not just tell them and not watch it. So I went and saw it, and oh, God, guys, it's miserable. Just don't go see it. Basically, they took – okay, it's remade of the Jamie Lee vehicle from 1980, but
– Jamie Lee's so hot.
Jamie Lee is hot. Good times.
She is smoking.
Yeah. Good times, Jamie Lee. Hey, want to say hey out there?
I want to smell her hair.
I just saw her in Forever Young today. That was
that was a great movie.
I want to smell her hair.
I was amazed at how skinny her legs were.
You're like, do they come in that size? What's happening?
Wow.
No, did you guys ever see the Jamie Lee Prom Night?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was an amazing film, just because it's so campy. I mean, it's like, it was your typical slasher flick from that time period. You know, it's kitschy, it's the whole cult classic. People love it, because it's the kind of movie you put on a Saturday night with all your friends, you're having some drinks, and you're just making fun of, you know, old teen slasher flicks. I mean, it's great, you know? I mean, Jamie Lee, that whole scene of her disco dancing in the gym, how funny is that? That's freaking hysterical, you know?
I thought it was hot.
Yeah, of course you did, Sean.
It was. Jamie Lee, I love you.
Sean's waiting for the return
Jamie
of Bell Bottoms.
Jamie Lee's officially never coming on the show. Great. Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome.
She's like, oh, are you the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show? Are you guys those pervs that talked about me? Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right after your necrophilia segment? Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, pretty much. She's like, yeah, no, not doing your show. Thanks.
I wonder what her shoes smell like, you know?
Oh.
I think about things like this.
Can I whatever. Apologize personally to Jamie? No, I'm kidding.
You smell shoes.
Jamie Lee Curtis, we would like to say right now that the comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Hey, I support Sean smelling Jamie Lee's shoes. If you want to, man, go for it. Just I don't know. I don't want to smell her shoes, though. I don't think Nathan wants to smell her shoes either.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're flying solo on that one, but Happens a lot, doesn't it?
I dare to be different, my friends. Dare to be different.
No, so the 1980 film was classic. Why do you have to remake a classic horror film? I don't know. I mean, is the money that important, please? Please, is it that important? Is it that important that you have to steal our money from us and, like, give it to us without the Vaseline? Please, please. Why, Hollywood? Why? I'm going to cry. Stop it. Stop it. You know what's funny, though? And this is kind of cool. Remember how I told you that the horror movie industry comes in trends? And you get, like, the Asian, you know, films, and you get, you know, like, the Scream-type films. And they come in spurts for a while, and they make some money, and then they die off. Well, I think the whole teen thing, like, how it's been the last couple of years, just the insane over-exploitation of it, you know, I think it's kind of dying out, because this movie was the worst of the teen movies I've seen. And it was funny because even the teens themselves in the theater that usually scream and jump at the slightest thing, they were so bored. Like, everybody was completely bored with this movie. And I was like, wow, this is the worst teen movie I've seen. Like, and the teen movies are pretty bad. They're just not even worth mentioning. But this was so boring.
It was like, so boring that there was actually more making out of teens in that film than any other film in the theater.
In the history of film. No.
There were some babies made that night.
There's a lot of babies that were conceived that evening. But I, you know, there was
parents, don't let your children go see.
If I didn't have to review it, I would have done it too. I'm sorry. But just letting you know. I'm not opposed. Not opposed to that. But,
You're a freak.
What?
You're a freak, and you smell so funny, too. That's what I love about you.
I love you too, Sean. It was so funny because I'm sitting here watching this, and here it's like, I remember being a kid watching the old prom night and just how crazy and kooky it was, you know, and, you know, the crazy, you know, killings and, like, the one in the van and just, come on. I mean, that was fun stuff. And you get this, and I'm like, please. They changed the whole story, and it was like, you know, she survives the lead girl, Brittany Snow, who's your, you know, not going to do much in the Hollywood film industry anyway, because she's just like every other Barbie doll that comes through here. But, she was in it. And, like, pretty much all it was, okay, guy kills her family. A couple of years later, she goes to prom. He escapes the mental hospital. Tries to kill her again. Thanks. Yeah, that was great. Loved it. And it's like, it was so boring. It was absolutely boring. I cannot handle it. And you know what? I'm sorry, but those Hollywood fat cats sitting in their little houses on their hills, you know, raking in the money from all these teeny boppers candy allowances. I'm sorry, but I'm going to get you. I'm going to get every single one of you. If I have to snap you with my towel personally, I will, but I'm going to get you. But this is horrible. Why do you make the public go through this? Isn't the world a scary enough place without having to subject us to dumb horror flicks? Why do you have to remake the classics? Can I please hit somebody with my towel? This is horrible. This is absolutely horrible. So I just don't know what to say about it.
Well, I gotta say, Gigi, you know, some remakes are pretty cool. Like Night of the Living Dead, the remake on that was hot.
Savini's version?
Yes!
I love you, Tom, but, okay.
They're coming to get you, Barbara!
The remake of Night of the Living Dead, Tom Savini directed it, and I love Tom to death, he knows I do, but, you know, it was for what it was. I mean, it was okay, but of course it's not the classic, you know what I'm saying? But I think pretty much everybody in the horror community can agree that two remakes that totally worked were John Carpenter's The Thing and Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. Because Evil Dead 2 was actually considered a remake and, you know, sort of in a film by itself. It's considered
Dead by Dawn, Dead by Dawn, Dead by Dawn.
Yeah, it's considered both categories. So, I mean, those are, like, the two remakes that just blow all the other horror remakes out of the water.
Blow.
But, I mean, seriously, John Carpenter's The Thing? Come on, that's an amazing film. But,
I love
the special effects on that was incredible. But even here, the special effects in this movie, I think maybe, like, they hired, like, the 5-year-olds at the local preschool. And they're like, here, guys, use some crayons and draw some bloody stuff. And, like, the kids went, pretty much it. What was that?
That was my song. I wrote about Night of the Living Dead.
Just now. Just now?
Yeah.
Hey, Nathan, where's the mute button?
I'm looking.
Look faster.
Hey, I should have been pulled out of the show a long time ago.
Let's try to save this while we're still afloat. No, but honestly, and I know we have fans around the world, so I'm going to send out this call to everybody. Do not watch this movie. Come on. I mean, if you have an ounce of decency with horror films and you know some stuff, come on. Just don't even bother with it. You know, you want to see something cool, go watch the Jamie Lee film, you know, or go watch Rust, you know. Go watch Paint Dry. It's more exciting than the Britney Snow prom night. So that's all I've got to say.
First of all, I'd like to say, parents, stop calling your children Britney.
How about it? How many kids are named Britney? How many? Oh, God. I can't even handle it. This is horrible. Yeah, and that Britney Snow, I mean, girl, I've never met you. I have nothing personal against you. But come on. Are you really trying to have a career? Like, what's going on? What are you doing?
She's hot, though, Gigi.
Yeah, for 5 minutes.
For those 5 minutes, is there a Sean moment for Sean?
Actually, I only need 5 minutes, you know? Maybe
5 seconds, I don't know. No, there are no Sean alerts in this movie. And that's what usual teen drama thrives on, is a little TNA. There is none in this movie. I was like, hey, they probably would have done better if, you know, they would have, like, showed some stuff. I don't know. I don't know, guys. I'm completely disgusted. I'm like, ugh. You know what's hysterical, though, is that they totally got their wish, because every teenager everywhere went and saw that movie opening weekend. I mean, they made a killing. They made a fortune off this movie. And it's, oh, God. I'm having a brain aneurysm. I can't handle it. Seriously, every kid went to go see this thing. And I'm watching these kids. And did you guys notice something about the new generations of teenagers?
That they have no respect for their elders?
Oh, my God, yeah, that. I was totally complaining about that the other day, even though I'm not much older. But
they totally look like adult women. So if the American County Sheriff's Department is listening, I thought she was 21. Sorry.
I thought she said she was 18, I swear to God. No,
I swear she did.
What's with the new generation of kids? I mean, the brain cells are becoming less and less, and they're becoming shorter. Why are all the kids walking around that are, like, supposed to be 18, why are they, like, 4'2"?
Because all of their parents live on McDonald's.
That's true.
They listen to our show.
Processed chicken.
The
Ghostman Demon Hunter show will stunt your growth. So,
that's because all their fathers were zombie sheep. That's what it right. is. That has to be the answer. That's what I'm thinking.
I've never noticed that they're stupid or anything like that. What I have noticed is that all the teenagers are starting to look exactly alike.
Well, see, right. I'm not saying all the teenagers, because there's a lot of really cool ones out there that I love to talk with and, you know, get their ideas on movies and stuff, but you know those ones. They're getting shorter, and they're getting less, they're becoming less functional in the world. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Well, I've heard that, you know, my generation, Sean's generation, is called the Generation X. I'm not sure if you fall in Generation X or Generation Y, Gigi. I think you fall in Generation Y.
Yeah, I'm Generation Y.
But I understand that the next generation is going to be called the Generation of Entitlement. And it's because they really...
Is there a new comedy coming out? Does Ashton star?
I don't know, but apparently, I don't know what the reason is for it, but it sounds to me like they're really expecting this generation to say, well, he has a nice new car. Why don't I have a nice new car? I would have called
like the Joneses.
I would have called them the Generation of Credit Debt, because you know that's what they're going to have if they are the Generation of Entitlement.
You know what? I'm sorry. All these generations, I just wish that they would all get attacked by zombie sheep. I think the world would be a better place. People
you know
would understand.
Here's what I think. I think that the people that made Black Sheep owe us royalties. We have pimped their movie to the umpteenth degree.
We have made Zombie Sheep famous. You know what I'm saying? I still want to see.
We've made them international. That's what it is.
I still want to see Nathan get raped by a zombie sheep.
Gigi, they were filmed in New Zealand. They were international before.
No. We've gotten the PR international.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Not that we made the movie. They were. We got the PR international.
Gigi on the quick save. 2 points, baby. Yeah. Hey, guys, I just got to say real quick.
I'm in a hockey game now. What's happening?
No. Hey, I got to throw this out real quick, guys, because my Wings, Bonnie Joe's Wings, the Red Wings of Detroit, have made it to the second round.
Go Detroit!
Yes, yes. They did win tonight. They beat the Nashville Predators. Thank you. That's all I got to say. Whoa!
And no offense to my good friends in Nash Vegas, but the Nashville Predators are a joke right now.
Yeah.
And now you're listening to Ghostman and Demon Hunter Sports, where we will...
We talk That's about the most insane things. I don't even know half the time. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm like, I fall into some zone. Like, I get on, and we've talked about... Look at our year. Like, I mean, we've surpassed a year, actually. But, I mean, look at everything we've talked about in a year. Like, wow. We've really encompassed everything, guys. I think it's kind of cool.
I can't. It's been a drunken haze, Gigi. I can't.
Sean was asleep for half the show.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
That's just covering the whole last section there, Sean, of the whole show. But,
No, seriously, is that, prom night, it's just...
Here you go, Gigi. On a scale of 1 to 10, how many short, look-alike, entitled teenagers does this film get?
It gets like a 3. But please, don't misunderstand us out there. We're not talking about all teenagers. We're talking about the ones that fit this description, okay?
Right.
I realized I was getting old the other day, Gigi, when I went to move my car and there was a girl trying to pull a large SUV out of a parking lot and she couldn't get it turned. So I walked over and I stood behind the car and I... waved my hands and was like, oh, you know, pull out here, okay, stop, turn your wheel. Helped her pull out of the parking lot. Before she drove away, she looked out and said, thank you, sir.
Did you get her number, Grandpa?
She drove away with my thinking, darn kids, what a grumble, grumble.
Damn kids, yeah, darn kids, oh.
Usually when I come out of the theater and they're surrounding me, I go, they're everywhere, run for the cars!
Yeah, yeah. That's so hot, though. The teenagers and you.
I just... Sean! Oh, my God!
What? I'm just saying.
And the show has been canceled.
Lock up your children, ladies and gentlemen. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter are coming to town.
Chris, no, I gotta tell you guys. For the show? If your kids are under 18, hi, Ghostman's coming to town.
You know, say what you will. 13-year-old humor. Sean laughs too much. Whatever. But you try to do a radio show every Sunday where you got to be right on the line of political, correctness and goofiness. You know what I'm saying?
I think it was a compliment that guy who is probably listening to the show right now. I think it was a compliment that guy said that there was 13-year-old potty humor on the show. Because you know what? I like to see him do it.
And besides that, at least we're PG-13.
Sometimes.
And all I got to say is that I'm an otter in the...
What?
I'll explain it later, Gigi, and you'll laugh your butt off. Don't worry about it. But on that note, Gigi, we do have to wrap up because we have to make time for our next guest who's coming up, who is... Sean, this is where you come in.
Hello!
Alan McGee, Alan McGee from the Appalachian... Ghost Walk Tours out in Tennessee. He's going to be up next. He's going to be crazy. He's going to be fun, and we're going to have a good time. Yeah.
And stay tuned for lots of 13-year-old potty humor.
Hey, Gigi, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. So fans everywhere across the nation, across the world, do not watch this movie.
And hopefully everybody will stick around through the break because we're going to have Loan Shark on with She Gotta Go.
She Gotta Go, boys. Stick around. It's going to get crazy.
Thanks, guys.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy. Sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Somebody please tell me what I gotta know. somebody please tell me what I got on her. She done me wrong. Now she gotta go. I work my job, I ain't got no cent. I get my check, so where I gotta spend. Please tell me what I got on her. She done me wrong. Now she gotta go. I got a bill for clothes, a bill for the ring. So many bills, I can't do a thing. Please tell me what I got from her. She done me wrong. Now she gotta go.
Radio and you.
This is Johnny. Johnny is going to use his computer to contact the spirits. His sister Jenny is very curious and watches. Johnny just typed in www.para-x.com and is now communicating with the dead. You go, Johnny. Jenny is excited because now she can listen to shows like Night Watch with Todd Sheets, Caps Paranormal Radio with David and Tom, Paranormal Awareness with Bill Metz, Ghostology with Brian and Anna Marie, Leinster Paranormal Radio Show with Danny and Cormac, and the Ghost Divas Live. One day, the world will be a better place when we can all be like Johnny and Jenny and tune into Para X Radio at www.para-x.com. All paranormal, all the time.
This is Dr. Satan, and you're listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
That's right, Demon Hunter. She's gotta go. She's gotta go. Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd like that song, Sean.
I love that song. That is a beautiful song. Anytime a man and a woman come together and can write a song about, she's got to go. I love it. I love it. That's what I want to do. But you know what, man? We got this cat on the phone, and this is the coolest cat that I've talked to in a long time. We got Mr. Alan McGee on from the, and he's going to holler at me, Appalachian Ghost Walks from Tennessee, the man himself on the line. What's going on, Alan?
Well, hello there. How are you doing? I appreciate you guys taking the time to call. It's about 10 Eastern time here, so I'm a little bit run down, but I'll do my best to put energy into the program.
Well, we're on the East, too, and we just wanted to call and make sure you were happy with your long-distance caller, so your long-distance service, so...
Right now. Hey, Alan, do you guys run tours on Sundays, too?
Oh, yeah. We operate 365 days a year, 7 days a week nightly. We're one of very few tour companies in the country that operate even through the winter. Probably because we have mild winters here. But,
yeah. Rub it in, why don't you? Yeah, but, you know, that's something I was talking to Demon Hunter about earlier. You know, you guys are the first group I've ever talked to that have a religious background that started this ghost tour, and you're open about it and you're upfront about it. And usually in the religious community, ghosts aren't a big topic of discussion, you know?
Yeah, I was actually born and raised in an Apostolic Pentecostal Holiness Church, and I was always very akin to the more spiritual side of Christianity, more than the religious aspect of it. So, you know, ghosts being by definition a spiritual phenomenon, of course, for me, it was always just a natural way to include an aspect of our universe that, you know, gives it a more complex look and feel. And I think that the more complex the universe around us, the greater the glory of its creator.
Well, you got it right on there, brother. I mean, that says 1,000 words right there. It's a mouthful. But, you know, I was Demon Hunter, this is what I'm talking about. A lot of the times, Al, and you might know this because I grew up in a Irish Pentecostal Catholic / Southern Baptist family. So I'm all over the place there. And they just really didn't talk about ghosts and stuff like that. And, of course, on Sundays, a lot of people, you know, think that keep that day holy and don't do anything, don't try to work. And as we all know, you got to work on Sundays now to make ends meet to pay for the gas. But, I mean, what kind of feedback have you got from the religious community about these ghost tours?
Well, as far as working on the Sabbath, you know, I've always thought that, you know, the seventh day is actually Saturday, which is actually the Sabbath is the Greek word, root word of Saturday. But I, as far as that goes, I think if you take one day a week and rest to, you know, commemorate your faith, I think that's the most important thing. It's like Jesus said in his ministry, the Sabbath was not made, or man was not made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for man. As far as work goes, you know, I really don't consider when you do something that is your passion, and you're doing it, as a glory to the Creator, I don't really consider it work. I think I'm very blessed because I get to do something that is extremely, akin to, more of a passion than it is work. And, we try to incorporate and acknowledge Jesus Christ in everything that we do.
And Sean and I have talked in the past about how people's theories in the paranormal tend to become their belief system, and that's because they intertwine it with the belief system they were raised with or have come to call their own. And so it's important for people for the individual, to have something that they can say, this is my belief system, this is what I do, and that's why ghosts are this. And that's why you get a lot of arguments in the paranormal community, because when you say you believe something different, people tend to believe you're attacking their belief system.
Well, yeah, I guess it's natural to get a little bit defensive about, you know, your beliefs and things, and that's okay. I mean, everybody's entitled to believe anything and everything. That's the wonderful thing about living in the United States and in this country, is that we do have freedom of religion and freedom of opinion and freedom to speak our minds. And even I was very kind of borderline on whether or not I should, you know, you always hear when you're growing up in church that this is not something you want to dabble in. But I had a lot of things that happened to me as a child. When I was 33 years old, I was expecting to have a ministry because at the age of 12, I was called to be a
minister. Now, Alan, when I was 33, I wasn't considering myself a child.
And,
I consider myself a child, too.
But throughout my life, I was always expecting to have a traditional ministry, you know, a church, with an offering plate and a building and a congregation and all of those things. And 33 came and went, and that did not manifest in my life. But I was then and have been for about 15 years now professionally involved with the paranormal, as well as my spiritual devotions, and also with my, I've also been in the tourism industry for about 23 years. But about, I guess it was 2 years ago, January of this year, or a little over 2 years from this from this episode in my life, that I had a confirmation that about what I'm doing that was just absolutely breathtaking, and that to say the least. I had gone to an investigation in Rogersville, Tennessee for our Rogersville Ghost Walk, and we had gone in, and in the course of doing our investigations, of course, you know, we do all of the scientific and, types of endeavors or techniques that you see on the Ghost Hunter Sci-Fi program. You know, like digital photography, infrared videography, electromagnetic field reconnaissance, cold and warm spot reconnaissance, and of course EVPs, everybody's favorite, electronic voice phenomenon.
Yes.
But we also started doing something called dowsing, which is the more up-to-date modern way of referring to divining rods, which old-timers would go out and look for oil and water. And about 30 years ago, ghost hunters discovered you could use this technique to ask yes or no questions with the ghosts and spirits inside these locations of spirit activity. And so in doing this, I would go in and I would do this dowsing. And, of course, we do our opening prayers and we do three questions, a may I and a can I and a should I douse this location out of respect for those that are there. And in doing this type of dowsing, of course, I didn't do this lightly. I found out that the University of Tennessee's forensics department had begun teaching the same type of dowsing that we were doing to douse for ghosts to its forensic students as part of the forensics program. And I thought, wow, you know, that's very interesting. Why would an accredited university teach something as highly controversial as dowsing? And, of course, I was very standoffish about it because, you know, in my church I grew up hearing that any kind of divination was, way off the base of where you need to be with God and that kind of thing. So I was very cautious about it, and I learned very quickly, I guess, in doing this over the past several years that there's a difference between conjuring and communication. And so we go in and we don't try to bring anything else in that's not already there. We just want to talk to what's already there.
Right.
And so in doing this dowsing, of course, in my research that I did, discovering that the university was teaching this to the forensic students, I thought, now, why would they do this? And after a little bit further digging, pun intended, you're about to find out why, we discovered that after a five-year study, the university discovered that they could use this technique of finding buried water sources to also locate lost grave sites. And not only could you find the positions of the lost bodies in the ground, but you could also determine the orientation that the head was lying, whether the body of the individual buried is a male or female, and whether that person is actually a small child or an adult from the length of the body. And so I thought, that's really neat. And then I discovered after this five-year study that they got better than 95% accuracy over this five-year study in all counts. So then I decided, well, after hearing that they began incorporating this into their curriculum, because as you can imagine, I don't know how many CSI fans you have out there, probably quite a few, they're always looking for new ways to help solve unsolved cases. And you can imagine the value of this in a murder investigation where the body of the victim was never intended to be found by the murderer. And these dowsing rods, as they discovered, will lead you to that body every time. So,
wow.
Yeah, exactly. And so it really moved me. And I figured, well, if it's good enough for a university to teach this, then it's good enough for me to try it. Thinking, what's the scientific value of this? Well, after doing this type of dowsing for about 5 years, I've discovered something even more fascinating. Lots of times where if the information cannot be confirmed that we get using dowsing through the property owner or a local historian who might be there to chaperone with us through these local buildings that are both historic and very spirited in nature, A lot of times we have been able to go down to the county records office, to the deeds offices and the tax offices, and we've actually been able to put a name with the people haunting these locations from the county records.
So it sounds to me like you do a lot of paranormal investigating as well as the ghost tours.
Oh, absolutely. I've been, long before we had Appalachian Ghost Walks, which was the prodigy, basically, of my 23 years of tourism and 15 years of paranormal, professional paranormal experience and research in the field, I started an organization that at first was called the United States UFO Information and Research Center, and everybody called me UFO Man back in those days.
Yeah.
We did everything from UFOs and alien abduction through Bigfoot sightings here in southern Appalachia, which, of course, we discovered through our research that the Cherokee have known about for over 500 years. After we got, to doing a lot of that, we decided to get into ghosts, and we decided if we're going to do ghosts, we're going to do it right. And we did a little investigating of who had the best experience in the field, and did several home study courses, and actually really delved deep into this and into the meat of it. And that's when we discovered, and began using a lot of these techniques that have become so popular through the Ghost Hunter Sci-Fi program. But we were doing it before ghost hunting was even cool. So.
I was a ghost hunter before ghost hunting was cool. Yeah, those T-shirts need to be made up. I like.
Wow, Sean, did you get really close to your microphone there or something? Wow.
maybe I did, but I tell you what, Alan. What I wanted to ask you is how did you come around to starting the ghost tours, the ghost walks?
Repeat that one more time. It was a little muffled there, Sean.
How did you start the ghost tours, the ghost walks, if you will? I mean, what did it just come to you one day? I said, I want to start this, or how'd that happen?
Well, I was at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and we were members of the Chamber with the Alternate Reality Center, which is the name of the organization as it is today. And there was a woman who came from the state of Tennessee and asked everyone if there was anything, any ideas that anybody had to help increase tourism to our historic downtown areas. And all of a sudden this idea popped in my mind because, like I say, I've been involved with tourism for 23 years and, we've been getting all this wonderful, all these wonderful results from the techniques that we were using in the field and, getting some unbelievable confirmations, and we're like, well, who do we tell this stuff to? And so it just seemed like a great way for people to come and learn about the scientific investigations, the results of those investigations, as it were, combined with the history of the first western frontier of America. And we're right smack on the oldest stage roads in the state of Tennessee, which started out as the state of Franklin and then as the 14th state of the Union, or at least the first attempt at statehood. And it was the first place that everybody from Maine to Florida came over the mountains westward in their route west to go out and stake out a claim or go out and try to find some of that gold. And everybody was coming through Tennessee's oldest town here, which is one of our tours called Jonesboro, and it was listed on the Travel Channel as being one of the most haunted towns in America. And that's just one of 10 tours that we have across the region. In several of these frontier towns that we offer here, in which most of our pre-Civil War structures are still intact, built before 1850.
Wow. And I'm a huge Civil War buff, Alan, but I got to ask you, because we're doing the G&D show Haunted Vacation Getaways right now, and you're our first guest, actually. So when I want to go, I go out to Tennessee, and I want to hook up with your group, what will I see? Can you tell me a little bit of it and what it's like? I mean, you know, all the good stuff.
Well, our company operates a little bit differently. The first tour that you do, we start off with a nice introduction to ghost hunting, kind of orient you to the way in which we get a lot of the information that we get, and how it's confirmed and so on and so forth. And after that, our tours, you get a lot more for your money than some other places in the country. Right now, we're listed or ranked as one of the top 5 ghost tour companies of America because of the unique way that we approach this from a Christian perspective, also the history that we combine with this all the way back to the Cherokee Indians forward through time to the Revolutionary and Civil War period of the area. We have several battles, major battles in the Civil War that were fought in this area that we discuss in detail. And by combining that information that you receive with, as far as the results of our investigations, with the history, you get an idea of who's haunting these locations and why they're here, and why we can't guarantee that you will have a psychic or paranormal experience on these tours. We have had better than 90% of the tours that we have operated for the past 3.5 years where someone will be touched by an unseen hand. They'll have an unseen hand run their fingers through their hair or lay it, that hand on a shoulder or an arm.
Wow, and those are events that Sean wasn't even at.
Right,
incredible stuff. Whispers over people's shoulder, laughing from the voices of children, people's clothing being tugged on, unearthly breezes coming out of nowhere and raising people's shirts up over their head when, in a 30-person tour group, it only affects one person. The rest of the peoples are not even fazed by it. Not a hair on their head is touched. Just amazing things. Electrical phenomenon, the shades or the blinds, and sometimes the drapes of windows in abandoned buildings that are pulled back right before our eyes when no one is in those buildings. And we don't, we pride ourselves on the fact that nothing that you will hear on these tours is made up or fictitious. It is all the real history of the area, which sometimes can be scarier than fiction, all the way back to the Cherokee Indians forward through time to the present. And the tragedies faced by these very historic frontier towns, just an amazing experience for people. We're about experience tourism. We're not about, taking you around saying this happened there and this happened there and running you around in a 60 to 90 minute tour. Most of our tours, they are walking tours presently. We're working on a few bus tours right now, like the Great Smoky Mountain Haunted Bus Adventure, as well as the Great Stage Road Haunted Bus Adventure, which will both be starting sometime in 2010, we're estimating. But then those will be all-day tours. But our walking tours generally last on average about 3.5 hours as compared to some other folks in the country that generally do tours for 60 to 90 minutes. You can do a tour with us and really make an evening of it. And some of our tours last around midnight.
Now, to be fair, hold on one second, Sean. To be fair there, I got to admit, I don't think I could last walking for 3.5 hours. Are those the only tours that are available, or?
You would be surprised. I had a 97-year-old woman that did not one but two of these. And it's not aggressive walking. It's a nice light stroll through the historic district, and it's more talking than it is walking. There's a lot to be said in these old frontier towns in one spooky evening. We've never had a complaint from anybody that's ever done one of our tours.
Wow.
Or time. Most people are like, oh my gosh, where'd the time go? I've had children that are 5 years old come on these tours with, and some of them with ADHD. And the parents will pull me aside after the tour and say, I don't know what you did to my child, but I have never seen my child be that quiet.
Maybe that'll work with my kids then, Alan. Because I can't keep them still. I can't keep my kids still for more than 10 minutes. I need to bring them out to Tennessee, go on this tour, man. But you know what? We got a question from the chat room, Alan. We got Sean P. ask, where can he find out more about these ghost tours?
AppalachianGhostWalks.com, AppalachianGhostWalks. GhostWalks.com. And if you type in Appalachian Ghost Walks in the search engine, it will come up there. The first page it pops up too. Also, I want to invite, I don't know how much time we have left, but I do want to invite everyone to a paranormal gathering that we are having at Roan Mountain State Park. This is our 11th annual event, and that's happening in June of 2008, beginning Friday the 13th and continuing through Sunday the 15th, during which time you'll hear from several very informed speakers, including myself, on a variety of topics. We'll be also doing a cookout that day. We'll be on the last day. We'll actually take you up to a actual believe it or not, we think a UFO landing site where nothing will grow, snow won't lay, the trees are all bent down inward, very fascinating, a place where crop circles actually form from time to time. And we, on the first day of the conference, we have campfire sessions that night. We'll be telling ghost stories and UFO stories from Southern Appalachia around the campfire. And it doesn't cost you anything except for the cookout and your camping. So it's a real inexpensive trip away from home. And you can learn more about that at paranormalgathering.com.
Hey, Al, real quick, Prism Lisa from the chat room. She wants to know, when you start a tour like that, how do you get the cooperation from the town to do certain things, you know, these ghost walks?
Well, there's a lot that goes into it. I suppose that my experience in the field with 23 years of tourism experience is really what it took. There's just a variety of elements that went into play to produce these tours. That I really couldn't tell you in any short period of time. It would be more like a home study course.
right.
So my apologies on that. My advice to anybody that is thinking something along those lines, you're welcome to come and take some of our tours and see how we do the tours, and then, see where you want to go from there. I do have one experience that I would really like to share with your listening audience.
Yes.
How much time we have.
Let's hear it.
We've still got about 4 minutes, so go ahead there.
Well, I'm going to see if I can do this in that 4 minutes, because it is, glory be to God, this is one of those types of things that everybody needs to hear. I don't think God let this happen to me just to keep it to myself. But back in 2006, I went into a location in Rogersville, Tennessee, in the production of our Rogersville Ghost Tour. And we spent about a year researching a location before we actually start the first tour. But in that location, I did some dowsing. We found that there were 8 children, and all under the age of 15, haunting that site. And there were 6 happy and 2 unhappy children. And my heart really goes out to children when we found them in this condition. We asked the spirit we were dowsing with if they had any loved ones there with them, and the response, sadly, that we got back was no. And in going ahead and doing our closing prayer that night, we asked the angels of God to come down and take them by the hand and lead and guide them to a place of perfect love and happiness and peace and joy for their own eternal salvation. And during that closing prayer, what I did not voice out loud to another living soul was, "Dear Lord, give me a sign if this is truly what you want me to do with my life," because I had really become very fervent in my desire and very earnest in my desire to know for sure that what I was doing with my life made God happy. And so the next day I was having lunch with Dr. Nancy Acuff, who's the Sullivan County historian, and we were doing an audio recorded interview with her about the history of Bluntville for her Bluntville Ghost Walk. During that course of that luncheon at an Oriental restaurant in Kingsport, Tennessee, a man gets up from a table across the room, and he starts across the room, and he gets to our table, and he bends over, and he smacks the table, and I look up at this man, didn't know him from Adam, and I said, "Yes." And the man says, "Excuse me, I don't know you, and you don't know me, and I don't know what you do, but I'm a minister, and God has been asking me to get up from my table and to come over here and to tell you that whatever it is you're doing, to go ahead with it." And I just looked at this man. I was not wearing anything that would have told what I did for a living or who I was, and there was no way he could have overheard anything that we were talking about, because it was so loud in that restaurant we could barely hear each other. And after the man left our table, apparently he went to pay his bill, because I tried during that time to tell Dr. Acuff what this meant to me. I think she must have thought that man was a lunatic, but I was so much in shock. And he comes back to our table. He must have went to pay his bill, and he's standing there again, and he says, "I had to come back and tell you one more thing." He said, "My car is parked on the far side of this parking lot in front of Jersey Mike's Subs," and he said, "on the way into that restaurant, God spoke to me and told me to come to the Oriental restaurant and eat." And he said, "I wasn't even going to eat here. But," he said, "I did not know why I was here until now." And I just looked at that man like in utter disbelief. And in quantum physics, we learn that for every answer about this universe that you get, it leads you to 5 other questions. So my question now was, "Okay, Lord, what is it about my work that you found so important that you would send this man to my table? And so, of course, you have to understand I'm doing this very quickly to give you any advice I can here for you guys. So he, you know, he left me with a question, and it would be about 2.5 months later when I would finally get the answer. And we had done some follow-up dowsing at the location that we were at in January, in March of that year. And we had done dozens of other places. I don't know. I could not have known what we got in January, but Michael was doing the follow-up comparison analysis on the audio recording that we had done. And when he comes out of the back room, he says, you know how you've been trying to find why that man came to your table, some kind of meaning? And I said, yes. And he says, well, I think I found your answer. And he says, do you remember what we got at that location back in January? I said, no. And he said, well, we found 8 children there. There were 6 happy and 2 unhappy with several unhappy adults. And he said, when we went back 2 nights ago and we doused again, no matter which dowser doused and no matter how many times we ask, we could now only find 6 children haunting that site, all of which were happy. The 2 unhappy children were gone. And so it suddenly hit me like a ton of bricks why God sent that man to my table. But somehow, something that we had done had given some inspiration or encouragement to 2 lost children to somehow find their way home.
Wow. That is amazing. That's truly amazing, Alan. You're doing good work out that way, and you need to keep it up, and you got these tours going. Where can everybody reach you at, man?
Our phone number is 423-743-WALK. That's 423-743-9255. And also our website is, again, AppalachianGhostWalks.com, and our email is very simply info@AppalachianGhostWalks.com. And come out and join us and do a good thing, you know, for charity. We give 10% of our profits to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
Well, thank you, Alan. That was Alan McGee. And, Alan, we'll be talking to you again real soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate your time.
We appreciate having you on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Keep rocking, Al.
And, Sean, I guess we better take a quick break so we can come back with our next guest.
All right, guys, stick around. This time we're heading down the bayou. That's right, we're going to Nolens with Kalila Smith. We're going to be talking voodoo, vampires, ghosts up next. It doesn't get better than this.
Join host Jeremiah Greer as Shadows in the Dark celebrates 1 year of broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio with a 24-hour paranormal extravaganza. Guests will include Nick Pope, John Hope, Jonathan Gray, Robert Schneck, The Dream Dudes, and many, many more. Hourly giveaways of signed books, DVDs, T-shirts, and much more. So don't miss this broadcast taking place all day, April the 20th, from midnight to midnight, only on Blog Talk Radio. For more information, visit www.shadowsinthedarkradio.com.
The American Ghost Society's 12th Annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, John Zaffis, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Nalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Bird.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk Radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th Annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
Hello, darling. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Hey, Sean. You know, before we go on, I got to state that that American Ghost Conference, I need to re-edit that because John Zaffis will not be at the American Ghost Conference this year.
He won't? What a bummer. John won't be there.
Huh? I don't know what's going on, but apparently he was double booked and he won't be there.
Right. Well, I just want to tell everybody, we just did the commercial.
Hey, Sean, hold on 1 second. You're all... cracking up there. Let me see if I can fix you really fast. Hold on. And while we're at it, let's see here. Okay. Try it now, Sean.
Test 1, 2, 3. It's the Ghost Man. Can you hear me, baby?
Ah, I can hear you.
Okay, I just got to say, on the commercial, we had Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, on, and I'm in love with her. And, of course, the next guest that we got on the night, Demon Hunter, I'm in love with her as equal as Elvira. We have Mrs. Kalila Smith, right, from the Haunted History Tours in Nolens. I think I said that right. She's going to be here with us tonight. She's going to be talking all kinds of stuff. I just want to welcome her to the studio. She is truly paranormal royalty, brother.
Well, that's great. Hey, Kalila.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Oh, no.
Shake it, baby.
How's the party down there?
The party is kind of slacking up a little bit. The party's been going on since New Year's, actually. We just got through with French Quarter Fest, and then we had a little bit of a break, but we're getting ready to roll right into Jazz Fest for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God, Jazz Fest. See, that's what I love. That's where I fell in love with B.B. King. The blues, people, that's where it's at. I fell in love down in Nolens. Right, Kalina?
Nolens.
Is that how you see it? Nolens.
No,
I got it.
No. No, actually, it's New Orleans. Now I can't even say it. See what you did? It's New Orleans.
But you are truly a paranormal goddess, and I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Not only are you beautiful, but you have such a knowledge of the paranormal. You guys have done such great things out there. Could you tell us a little bit about your background? What was the little Kalila like growing up? What started all this?
Well, the little Kalila growing up was kind of like Wednesday Addams. I was goth long before goth was popular. And as a child, I saw a lot of strange things. I saw spirits and that sort of thing. And as a teenager, I read tarot cards and did seances for my friends to amuse them. So,
see, I would have so asked you to prom. You know what I mean? Oh my God!
I was a good dancer. Yeah, I was a good prom date. I could dance, you know.
You know, what's so cool about this is because my ex-wife, as I refer to as Satan, we went down to...
Hold on, Cleveland. I have to do this so we don't get sued by Sean's ex-wife.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
There, now we're better.
Okay,
all right, there you go. But me and Satan, I work for an airline that advertises the Haunted History Tours in New Orleans in their magazine. And I read about it on my way to down to the Big Easy, right? And I said, I got to check this out. So I think it was, I'm not sure, I think it was your husband that I had met.
Well, he's now my ex-husband. He was probably my husband then, but he's now my ex. Yeah, and now he's Satan.
right. We got. They should get together. Actually, I got a number after the show. Maybe they can hook up and have a couple of cocktails or something. But anyway, you know, I went down there, girl, and I took the tours, and I fell in love with the Haunted History Tours in New Orleans. I fell in love with it.
Fabulous.
Because, you know, we went into that little Cajun restaurant down there, and they had the table set up for the ghost. You know that one, right?
That's Muriel. Yeah, Muriel's on the Flare, yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, everybody hears about the tea room. And it's not the ghost of Chloe. Chloe's at the plantation. I forget the name of the
ghost. You're talking about Julie. You're talking about the ghost of Julie, the woman who froze up on the roof. Yeah, she's the most active ghost in the French Quarter. She's also the most predictable ghost, but it's no longer the tea room. It's now an art gallery. Isn't that bizarre?
See, all I got to say is because I'm back in the dating world now, so if I could find a chick that would set out on the roof in the middle of a snowstorm, you know, or cold weather for me, I would marry her tomorrow. You know, this cat was crazy.
And Julie was totally nude when she did this, by the way. Well, no, I might add.
She was totally naked. So she's got me already. Yeah. She had me at no clothes.
So, well, you know, Kalila.
Yeah, freezing to death.
The last, I have not been to New Orleans in many, many years. Pre-Katrina years, the last time I was down there had to have been in the late 90s, probably about 10 years ago, and I asked around to find out which would be the best ghost tour to take in the French Quarter, and I was told that yours was the actual first ghost tour down there.
Right.
And so all these years ago, before I ever had the show, before anybody knew I was a ghost hunter, I actually took your ghost tour.
Wow.
And I wound up going through the tour, and the gentleman who was doing the tour was actually wearing a pirate costume. And as we were walking around and he was giving the tour, I had to look at him and say, you know, that leather vest is absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, he turns me on.
Don't make me hit the button, Sean. So I had to tell him, that leather vest is absolutely gorgeous. I love that leather vest. And he said to me, well, I had this made up in Nyack, New York. And I said, well, was that at Leatherworks? And sure enough, he and I had our pirate costumes, because I used to do the Renaissance fairs, done at the exact same place.
Oh, wow.
So this whole thing of synergy and interconnection really came out, is really becoming interesting to me tonight, because here you are a guest on the show. You were the first and only ghost tour I took in the French Quarter 10 years ago. And I have to say, I to this day talk to people about your ghost tour and pull out the book even that I bought in your shop.
Oh, fabulous.
And tell
Thank
people
you.
How wonderful your ghost tour was.
And she's
well,
hot.
Thank you. That's awesome. And you know what's really weird is that we just had Pirate Con over the weekend, so the whole French Quarter was actually full of pirates all weekend long.
you know what's amazing?
You're into the pirate thing.
It's amazing, Kalila, because I figured you'd see Nathan there in his leather thong, you know, pirate car, because he really gets into that kind of stuff, you know. And in New Orleans, yeah, everything.
Well, it sounds like Nathan would fit in more with decadence.
he likes to be spanked, Kalila.
Well, he needs to come down for Southern Decadence. That's more his line, not pirate car. I didn't see anybody in thongs. Or anything like that.
I have to tell you, Kalila, I don't wear the thongs because Sean always wears them first, and I refuse to wear them after him.
Oh, no.
Whatever. Kalila loves
sick,
me. No, but Kalila,
don't talk, about my Shawnee like that.
you tell him, girl. You tell him. But, of course, we're going to have you back on the show a million times because there's so much stuff
cool.
that you're involved with. Yeah, there's so much stuff that you're involved with, but can you tell the listeners tonight, let's just jump right into it. I mean, I want to talk about the vampires, I want to talk about voodoo, I want to talk about ghosts, all of it in New Orleans. When you first started out and you started this tour, how did you start making friends with all these different people, I mean, and learning all these stories?
Well, in the beginning, we started with a ghost tour, and we started with stories that we actually grew up with. Because Sydney and I both grown up in New Orleans, and we both grew up hearing these stories. I mean, I heard the Julie story when I was 8 years old. On Halloween, the news crew would do a scary story late at night. And I heard about Julie when I was 8. So we grew up hearing a lot of these, what I call the legends. Those were the original stories on the ghost tour. And as we started getting more and more popular, you know, I started really questioning it, like, well, we're saying this is, you know, this is real. How do we know? So I actually started knocking on people's doors, just going to their businesses, going to their homes, and saying, okay, we're saying your place is haunted. What's really going on here? And actually getting invited in to spend the night in places and do actual investigations and use scientific equipment and measure and take photographs and get EVP and all that good stuff. And it kind of grew from there to, by the time the book came out in 1997, people started calling me and saying, okay, here's what's going on. I want you to come out here and check this out. And
right.
That's how it all started.
That's incredible. I really loved the fact that, like I said, I bought the book when I was down there. And a lot of the pictures that were actually in the book, I was told, were taken by people who have been on your ghost tour.
Yeah, that's correct. In fact, all of the photographs are in the book and on our website at neworleansghost.com, the paranormal site. They're all taken by other people who just arbitrarily took the tour and took a picture and got some phenomena on their photographs. None of these were taken by me. None of these were taken by professional photographers. They're all just random tourists who happen to get phenomena on their film. So they're pretty unique, you know, and people just started sending them to us over the years. And we started a collection of them. And in fact, now the book, as of last year, the book was in its 10th year and its 5th edition.
Wow. Now, I tell you what, Mamacita, you've done some work with a good friend of the show, TT, Mr. Troy Taylor, with the Francisville Experiment. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the St. Francisville, you're talking about the movie with the St. Francisville Experiment?
Yeah, the movie. It's been a while now.
Yeah, that's been a long while. And actually the movie is a fictionalized version of something else. The St. Francisville Experiment, I mean, it tries to come across like this is the real deal, but I mean, it's fiction. It's a fictionalized movie, but it's based on the Lillari story, which actually happened in the French Quarter. Madame Lillari in the 1830s, she and her surgeon husband were actually mutilating their slaves and torturing them. Found out about until the house caught on fire, and the fire brigade went in there and found all of these people chained to the walls up in the attic. Where the St. Francisville concept came from is, of course, the most haunted house in the United States is the Myrtle's Plantation, which is in St. Francisville, and it's believed that when the Lillaris disappeared that they crossed Lake Pontchartrain and wound up in plantation areas staying with family members and continued their tortures. So they kind of took the two stories and kind of merged them together and created the movie called The St. Francisville Experiment.
Well, I found it interesting about the Mullary family with the fact that not only did they find the people chained in the attic, but the window, the walled-up window in that house.
Well, yeah, that's where one of the women, someone had broken loose from their chains, and she actually ran through that window and jumped out of it, falling to her death. You know, she was finally rescued, but she was so crazed from being in that room of torture that she lunged at them and ran straight through the house and darted through one of the windows and was killed that way.
And when people started
to... because when we do the show on conferences, you know, and we go together, that's a lot like what I do. I run for the windows and try to jump out.
Honestly, we have to chain our guests to the table so that they don't do that. But
loves us.
I do know that from that story that when they finally started realizing what these people were doing, they actually got on their carriage and just drove out of town, and everybody was so afraid of them, they didn't even try to stop them.
Well, actually, the truth of the matter is nobody really knows what happened to them, okay? They disappeared while going on. Their party guests were watching these atrocities coming out of the house. Dead bodies were being brought out. Injured people were brought out. I mean, these people were so disfigured. Their faces looked like garbage. There were some hideous things happening. They weren't really paying attention to where the Lillaris were. And that's where the mystery comes in, because a lot of people don't know really what happened to them. It's suspected that they took off in their carriage and went about a block and a half down and jumped a boat, went up the river and then crossed Lake Pontchartrain and wound up staying with relatives in plantation areas. There was actually documentation of a Lillari family living on the North Shore at that time. So there's records of them having family members there. The thing is, it just wasn't in St. Francisville.
Right. Now, Kalila, when I took your tour when I was down there with Satan, right, we went to the after-hours seance. And remember that? I don't know if you still do it, but remember the seance?
We don't do the after-hours seance anymore. Actually, we lost a lot of people when Katrina hit, you know, away, and, you know, back then we were doing the seance. And, you know, the guy who did the seance started moving right after Katrina, so we don't really do the seance anymore.
Right. Well, you know, I took the seance, and that blew my mind, of course, and I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to ruin it in case you bring it back for everybody. But when I left the seance, I walked out of that building, and I was on the street, and Satan was talking to some girls we met down there, and I was off myself on the corner, right, and I seen the street lamp, and this beautiful woman walked across the street, and she was staring at me, and she looked so pale, and she had this goth Victorian thing on, which everybody knows, listen to the show, I'm a freak for goth, right? And she's sitting there, and she's staring at me, and I swear to God, Kalila, I swear to you, she had black eyes, and this chick was digging me, man. She was looking at me. I don't know if she wanted to suck my blood, crucify me, whatever.
Yeah, she was really Satan. That was really Satan. See, that.
I think it might have been Satan. And actually, what's sad is we probably could have made it more than 5 years with her, you know. So I should have went over there and proposed to her, actually. But, you know, let's talk about vampires. They're very real.
Well, yeah.
In New Orleans.
Well, you know what? During that period in time, they were here by the hundreds. I mean, maybe even the thousands. There was an entire subculture of people who lived a vampire lifestyle. And everywhere you went in the French Quarter, especially down in that area by Decatur Street where we were doing the seances, you know, that was their territory. And nowadays you don't see so many of them. Now, that's not to say that they're not here. A lot of the role players have left the city, but a lot of the people who are actually living a vampire lifestyle have gone more underground. So they're actually not dressed in the goth garb so much as they're blending in with everybody else, which is kind of creepy.
To hear you call that creepy really makes me feel...
Yeah, when I think something's creepy, it is creepy, okay? It's very, very creepy.
You know, when I was down there, Kalila, there was actually people in the news that had attacked some tourists, and they said it was a vampiric group that had, I don't know, sucked the blood out of these victims or whatever. But do you remember that? That's been like 6 years ago.
Yeah, there's been quite a few, as a matter of fact. In fact, the first one was a Carol Casey, which was in, I think, 1997. That was, he killed... his girlfriend's parents in Florida, and they fled to New Orleans, and then they captured them and extradited them back to Florida. Then in 1998, the owner of a large goth club, he was killed in a vampiric-like crime, and the murderer was never caught. The most recent one was the one in 2003, and this guy was seen on several surveillance cameras leaving a club with people who were living a vampire lifestyle, and they not only killed him and drank his blood, they took his skin. They found him skinned, floating in a hot tub in his hotel room.
Oh, tourist soup.
See, that's sexy to me. That's hot.
Yeah, I think it's pretty creepy myself. I think that's pretty gross.
I kind of find that... gross. I'm on your side there, Cleola.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
You know,
very disturbing.
You know, Cleola,
you can skin me anytime, Kalila. I'm just making a mistake.
You know, Cleola, when I was actually down there, I had so much fun on your tour that I wanted to move to New Orleans and get a job with your company doing the tours. And
that would have been cool.
It was just, I loved it. But I wanted to take all your tours because up here I do a lot of work with different groups and stuff. And I've done a lot of work with different Santerian groups. But what I really was interested in down there that I didn't get to do was take your voodoo tour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, voodoo's very real down here. And I will say that I am a voodoo practitioner. Voodoo is my religion, and voodoo is a religion. It's not a cult. It's not what a lot of people think it is. In fact, it's the most misunderstood religion probably in the world. It's misrepresented, and, you know, a lot of people think that it's, you know, evil and you're worshiping the devil and all that stuff. But there's no truth in any of that. It's actually very benign. It's very benign, and it's pretty cool.
Now,
very cool.
I was explaining to Sean the other day, because when he found out I actually had some history with voodoo and things like that, I was explaining him the similarities between, like, Papa Lugba and Alegua from the Santerian religion.
Well, yeah, actually, it's the same energy. I mean, when voodoo originally came out of Africa, a lot of it went by the name Yoruba. And it went all throughout the... Caribbean via the slave trade, and it wound up being called different things in different areas. For instance, in some of the Spanish-speaking countries. It's called Santeria. In Brazil, it also goes by the name of Cumba. You've also got Palo in Cuba. Mexico's got a version of it. And, of course, in French-speaking Haiti, it became known as voodoo in the Creole French language. And voodoo merely means spirits. So voodoo by any other name is still voodoo, but it just started taking on different traditions as it went through different areas of the world. So in Santeria, you have the Orishas with, like, Ilegua, and in voodoo, with under a different language that you speak in the Creole French, he's called Papa Legba. But it's the same energy. He's still the one that opens the doors.
Right.
He's the door opener. And in the it's actually, voodoo is very parallel to the Catholic religion. If you look, I don't know if you guys are Catholic or not, but for those listeners who are Catholic, if they can relate to the saints, it's very much what the Loa and the Orishas are like, the Catholic saints. So, you know, Papa Legba, who's at the crossroads, would be equivalent to St. Peter.
Right.
Right.
Now, could you explain to our listeners some of the differences between, say, voodoo and hoodoo?
Voodoo and what? You broke up a little bit. I'm sorry.
Sorry, hoodoo.
Voodoo and hoodoo. Oh, that's a great question. Voodoo's a religion. Voodoo's a religion. It came from Africa, went to Haiti, and then came to New Orleans. Whereas hoodoo is a New Orleans slang. Hoodoo referred to the spell work. In every early religion, you know, whether it's Wicca, whether it's voodoo, what have you, you have your religious aspects, and then you have your spell casting. And hoodoo was the slang term for just the spell work, because you can do the spell work and never, ever practice the religion. You can also practice the religion and never, ever do the spell work.
Right.
Most practitioners do both. But, yeah, that was just an old slang that they used in New Orleans for the spell casting.
Now, we've only got a few minutes, unfortunately, before we have to wrap up. Our time with you just flew by. But can you tell some of the listeners some of the things they could look forward to if they came down and took some of your tours?
Well, on the ghost tour, we take people to the most haunted locations in the French Quarter. We also have a ghost tour of the Garden District as well these days. So we hit both areas of town. We take you to the most haunted locations, those that are documented by paranormal research, police records, city archives. The nighttime French Quarter tours take you for a break on a haunted bar. Our vampire tour takes you to locations associated with vampires, real and fictional, movie sites, as well as actual crime scenes where real blood drinkers killed their victims. And then our voodoo tour is only on Saturday nights right now since Katrina. It's offered just on Saturday nights at 7:30, whereas the other ones roll every night. The voodoo tour is about voodoo, the religion, as it relates to the city's history. You see real Haitian altars to the Loa. And you hear stories about practitioners from the 1800s. And it kind of dispels some of the myths about voodoo, kind of gets rid of some of that Hollywood stuff with sacrificing babies and raising zombies from the dead, and gets rid of all those kind of myths.
And now, do you still offer on your tours a voodoo-blessed charm for the people who take the tours so the ghosts don't follow them home?
No, we don't have those. The charms did not get resurrected after Katrina. So that's even the best part. You get a little lanyard. If you take our tour, something actually follows you home. So, and that could be a cool thing for a lot of people. I'm sure that scares the hell out of others. But anyway, for those who are interested in the tours, we offer those tour every day at 6 and 8 p.m. and then the vampire tour every night at 8:30. And you can go to our website at hauntedhistorytours.com or call us at 504-861-2727.
You know what, Kalila? I just see a lot of naked partying down there, and I just want to ask you, will you marry me? You don't have to answer right now. Just think on it. Think on it for a couple days, Mama.
I'll toss that idea around. Okay. I will definitely toss that idea around.
I'm going to send you a picture for you can have a picture of Papa Sean on the wall there.
All right. Yeah, send me a picture, Sean.
Kalila, we have to wrap up, but can you stay on the line while Sean and I finish up?
Yes, I certainly will.
That's cool, and thank you. And we want to thank all of our listeners tonight for joining us for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Oh, my God, Kalila is so hot. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I tell you what, vampires, voodoo, ghosts, they're all out there, guys. They're very real. So sleep tight tonight. Make sure those windows are locked. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log into our forums because we want to hear from you.
And join us next Sunday, which will be April 27th, when we will be talking to our very special guest, Lloyd Auerbach.
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 Hey, don't go changing Ghost Hunters. We won't. We love you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
So say good night to the bad guys.